Before we jump in, Liam, to what is probably the biggest podcast of the season so far, a quick word from our new sponsors.
Yeah, support for the OTL NRL Fantasy Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Bye, remember the days when we used to get the old scissors out?
I do. I'm pretty happy to say those days are now behind me.
I remember me having to have hands like a surgeon, and I used to get the occasional nick and actually even draw blood at times.
It's risky business, and it has happened to the best of us, that's for sure.
Well, it doesn't have to happen no more. With Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents.
That's right. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code OTL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping, including the UK, Liam, at manscaped.com, and use our exclusive discount code for our listeners only, OTL20.
It's time to shave those balls. Now on to the podcast. G'day footy fans, and welcome back to the OTL NRL Fantasy Podcast. Byron, it's good to have Manscaped on board.
Definitely really grateful to have Manscaped on board as a partner for our podcast. And the best part about it is we genuinely have had people contact us and ask how they can support us over the last few years. This is definitely the best way to support us now. If you want to jump on to manscaped.com, have a look at their products, in particular the Lawnmower 3.0, and use our code. Not only will you get a great discount and some great products that Liam and I have both tested and used, and we've been really, really impressed with. If obviously we move a few products and our audience likes their products, they might stick around with us potentially for the rest of the year. So that would be fantastic if you can support us there. But with that out the way, Liam, what a teamless Tuesday. I know this is going to be a long, long podcast.
I think this podcast could easily be a couple of hours, even if we just want to talk about the team lists. How did you go, more importantly, over the weekend?
So I had a really good score, 1,118. I did get in my own way a little bit by captaining Tedesco, but I was always going to do that. You know that I had that fixture circled from the preseason, and Tedesco at the SCG day footy, I was never going to be able to pass that up. I only just got Tedesco actually into my side in time to do that. It did backfire. I would have gained a couple of extra points keeping it on Haas, but nonetheless, a good score, and I come in from 29th to equal 11th overall.
That's really impressive. You were actually at my place just before the game started, and we're outside and we're having a few beers, and we came in to watch the game, but probably regret it because he didn't do too well and you were kicking yourself during the whole match.
Well, what made it worse was yourself and Justin, who's in our head-to-head league, taking great pleasure in the great man underwhelming. So you were rubbing it in a little bit there, but he still managed to get to 50 without doing too much. He had an offload and a try assist there just to get him over the line. Obviously, as good as he is, it is a risk captaining an outside back. So probably back on Payne Haas for the rest of the year for me.
Yeah, I scored 971 points, which is quite low considering most people hit the 1,000-plus mark.
You had a bit of a red arrow, didn't you, in the end?
You actually blew out 700 spots, going from about 1,200 to 1,900. So I had a terrible week. That had a lot to do with Lomax and Randall, both in my scoring team. And I also captained Teddy, who underwhelmed as well. My trade plans this week, I'm a bit unsure. But as I've said before in the past, I think I'm going to be keeping the captaincy on Haas for the rest of the season.
I don't know if we can trust you with that one, mate. You tend to say that every week, and it'll end up on Taumalolo or someone like that before lockout, I'm sure. For my trade plans, not too sure. I was thinking about picking up a discounted Moses, but Teamless Tuesday has thrown up a couple of challenges. I've actually ended up okay. I've still got 19 fit players to come into my side, and I know a lot, even in the top 10, have fewer than that. So probably in a good position relative to some of the other players and coaches around me, but we'll just have to see how we go, whether I can feel safe enough to let go of another trade at this stage. I mean, there's so much carnage going around, even if it hasn't affected me directly.
Yeah, I was looking at the rankings and you're only 151 points off first, so you're closing the gap really nicely.
Yeah, feels good at the moment. I'll enjoy it for now because like you seen last week, you can just as quickly slide in the opposite direction. So I'm definitely not going to get comfortable.
Well, we mentioned teamless earlier, so let's look at the team list that got announced this afternoon. So we've seen Corey Norman dropped with Kloon returning from concussion, but that sees Ben Hunt remain at six. So we both own Hunt. Do you see that as a bit of a disappointment?
Definitely, it's a little bit of a step back for Ben Hunt. We do want him there at hooker, especially once he started tidying up some of those missed tackles. He was just getting through a mountain of work in the middle. It doesn't mean he becomes a sell overnight or anything even close to that. He does still score well there in the halves, but we would prefer him at hooker, definitely.
Kyle Flanagan is out, which is a disappointment for me because I'm a Kyle Flanagan owner, but Lachlan Lamb replaces him. We see Anthony Milford out for a month with a hamstring injury, while Croft returns.
Plenty of changes there at the Broncos, but probably the major one there is the great man David Fifita returns. So an absolute tackle-busting machine. We both started the year with him as the majority of coaches would have. He's still underpriced when you compare him to his average at the moment. Can you jump on him straight away this week, or has he been out too long, do you think, and we should get a bit of a look at him before we actually consider bringing him back in?
Well, I remember Seabold saying he was going to ease his way into the team, and I think obviously the way the Broncos are going, he's just put him straight in with all the injuries they've had. I'd probably give him a week, but I can see why coaches would be tempted to put him straight in the team, especially Madison owners who seem to be a bit uneasy with him.
I agree. I couldn't talk anyone out of jumping straight back on, just given his freakish talent, but it might pay to wait at least 1 week.
Cameron Smith looks to miss 2 to 3 games, so Brendan Smith shifts to the hooker position while Ryan Pappenhausen is rested.
Pappenhausen is a big one. A lot of people have got him in that third wing fullback slot, including myself. I know you sold him a little while back. Thankfully, I do have some cover via Avarillo and some dual position players, and also Stafford Toa, who's going to get a start for the Knights this week. But probably the most interesting one there now becomes Cameron Munster. So he's a very similar price to Mitch Moses this week. Cameron Smith out of the side for a couple. You'd think he'd have a lot more work to do and probably take all of the kick meters. Is he a potential alternative to Moses, who a lot of people are looking at this week?
I've had a lot of questions about that, actually, between the two. I'd be still looking at Mitchell Moses long-term, but I think Munster might get the short-term goals for the next 2 to 3 games. On to the Knights. We've got Blake Green, who's straight into the Knights team with Kurt Mann shifting to the hooker position.
Huge news there for Randall owners. 16.5% ownership just goes to show how many coaches jumped on him last week. And also Bradman Best has picked up an ankle injury and looks to be out long term.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of coaches, including myself, looking to do a direct swap with him. And I think Katoni Staggs is probably one of the biggest candidates at the moment this week. Next, we've got Twile and Grant, who are also both out as well for the West Tigers.
Both massive outs this week. A lot of coaches jumped straight back onto Twile last week, given his dual position status and how his red hot form through the start of the season has built up a lot of confidence for coaches. Grant is obviously really highly owned. The great news is, though, it's looking like only 1 week, so definitely don't be trading out Grant this week.
Luke Brooks is back into the starting lineup alongside Walters. But the biggest surprise is we've got Sam McIntyre making his way into the forward pack for Luke Garner. So we'll be talking about Sam McIntyre a bit later in the episode. We've also got Michael Morgan, who's back with Ben Hampton partnering him in the halves. And we've also got Jake Granville on the interchange for the Cowboys, which would be a worry for a lot of Robson owners.
Yeah, that's the big news for mine. Granville onto that interchange slot. I did hang on to Robson and enjoyed his 70-plus performance last week. He could be looking at another game with reduced minutes now that they've got the experience of Granville ready to come in into hooker. However, if you are a Robson owner, he has got a break-even of around 51. I think you can wait a week, and there's always that potential that he shifts into the middle forwards to accommodate Granville. We've actually seen him do that with Cotter earlier in the year, so don't just write him off straight away. If you are an owner, I'd be holding for at least 1 more week, especially given how many other injuries there are in most people's teams.
Next, we've got the OTL Cup update, and there's no change. We've still got the NRL FL Ben's Geese up for the 10th consecutive week.
He's looking very comfortable up at the top of the table there. As you mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm still some 150 points behind him in the overall race. However, we've got RNGD TK Spartans in second in the OTL Cup, and they're actually fourth overall, so they're killing it as well at the moment and closing a gap there. So it'll be interesting to see with this injury carnage if we see a tightening in that race over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're only 60 points behind, so they are closing the gap. We're on to who's hot next. So the biggest player movement of the week is Tom Starling. So he's doing really well, actually exceeding my expectations by a lot, to be honest. 52 points over the weekend in 55 minutes. Break even of minus eight as well this week. So he looks to make plenty of more cash.
He's doing really well off the interchange there, playing around 50 minutes a game. I think it was a bit of a coin toss a few weeks ago between Starling and Havili when people were kind of taking a punt on how Ricky was going to manage that rotation. It's definitely been Starling that's come out on top there. They have recruited Kurt Baptiste, but my understanding is that for him to get a run, there has to be an injury to either Havili or Starling. So Starling looks relatively safe there, getting more and more comfortable with every game. So I think he's a great in this week if you need to free up some cash and need a little bit of depth on your interchange.
Next, we've got Katoni Stagg. So with Best being out, he's a prime candidate to replace him. 88 points over the weekend, and he's got those kicking duties as well. He's an exciting player.
He's so explosive. I think if you can just get him early ball, he'll create his own opportunities. As you just touched on the goal kicking, we've seen how crucial that is with players like Lomax. He is quite expensive, and he has had a hamstring issue, I believe, earlier in the year that's kept him out a couple of times. I was an owner earlier in the year. I'd love to still have him in my team. Probably won't be able to get him in, but if you've held, I think you're about to reap the rewards.
He's obviously been in the headlines a lot today. Do you think that he'll be in the right headspace ahead of the game, or do you think this will be sort of a welcome distraction?
I think so. Being out of the game for a number of weeks now, nursing that injury, I think he'll be really keen to get out there and rip in. He was really passionate in making some big plays over the weekend and celebrating with his teammates. I think he'll just be keen to get back out there and do it all again.
He reminds me a bit like James Roberts about his explosiveness.
Yeah, those fast twitch muscle fibers are tailor-made for tackle busting, and as fantasy coaches, we love that.
Next, we've got Nathan Cleary, who hit his second ton of the season. So 105 points against the Seagulls. He's got a 74-point season average as well. We both owned him before round one.
Yeah, he was one of the few players that was in every single preseason draft team of mine, and we picked him as the number one buy in the preseason. So thankfully, he's holding up to that selection at the moment, and I think he's posing a bit of an argument for the captaincy for the rest of the way home. He's now overtaken Payne Haas in the averages. Can you see sense in just slapping the C on Cleary and given his upside, just riding out those scores for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I definitely think he could be a good candidate for a set and forget option. So I actually posed the question on the weekend on Twitter, and overwhelmingly Cleary got the results.
It might be swinging in his favor from this week.
We've got Mitchell Moses at 646K. He got 22 points over the weekend with kick meters alone. Do you see him as a great candidate?
He's probably my buy of the week, or at least the one that's tempting me the most personally. A lot of coaches over the preseason were tossing up Moses or Cleary to start the year with. So to think that he's under 650K at the moment in a side like the Parramatta Eels with such a dominant pack, they're creating the space for him to work his magic. He's got a couple of tries in the last couple of weeks, and I can see plenty more attacking stats coming just to add to those 20 plus points in kick meters. So I don't think you can go too wrong with Moses.
A bargain basement price player, we've got Ben Hampton. So he's named at 5'8", and he's piqued a lot of coaches' interest. That dual position, I think, has got a lot to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. I was really surprised to see him hang on to the 5'8 spot. Actually, I thought Clifford's a really talented player and is one of those players of the future for the Cowboys, but they've put their faith in Ben Hampton as things haven't quite gone their way this season. And at 212K, a nice little cash out that covers both wing fullback and center. I can definitely understand this one.
It's just important to note that Drinkwater is looking to return around 15.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even know that. So, yeah, something definitely to consider there. Unless you're happy for him to eventually become a red dot, then I wouldn't look there in that case.
Jazz Tavanga is the next player that's in the hot list. So, 62 points in 51 minutes against the Tigers. He's averaging around that 15-minute mark since he started lock in the last two games. Probably the only thing you'd want from him is just a bit more increased minutes.
Yeah, hopefully they'll continue to climb throughout the rest of the year. But at his PPM, he doesn't need to play 80 to put up keeper numbers. I jumped on for his first start in the lock position, and I'm really happy with how he's traveling at the moment. He did tidy up the demerits a little bit over the weekend, which was nice. I think he had minus 16 in his first start, so which is quite huge, and he still cracked 50. So it just goes to show how involved he is, even in limited minutes.
Looking at who's not, we've got Cameron Smith as the number one trade out. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks with a shoulder injury. Do you see him as a hold or a sell?
It really depends on whether or not you've got another hooker in your arsenal outside of Harry Grant. I'd imagine there's a lot of people that could be just running Grant and Smith, and they've found themselves without someone to put in that starting number nine place. If that's the case, then I can certainly see the sense in moving him on for a McInnes or a Cook even. You've got a couple of options there at Smith's price point. But if you can cover him, 2 weeks, that could go pretty quickly in NRL fantasy. And if his ownership drops off quite a bit and he can become a bit of a pod, that would be amazing given his pedigree.
The second biggest traded option of the week is the hammer for the Cowboys. So it's his second time in 7 appearances he has scored 10 or below. So he's been pretty underwhelming.
He has been. He just doesn't have the base, does he? He has had a couple of incredible runs, though, that have really boosted his scores, but it's hard to rely on those week in, week out. If you need the cash, he is at 350K now. I can see why people are moving him on to a cheaper option to try and bring in a keeper elsewhere. But really, if you've got a number of other issues, you could do worse than just holding him from your emergencies as a wing fullback cover, just in case, and just kind of hope that you don't have to play him.
Yeah, I think a lot of coaches will be nervous playing him in their wing fullback this week. Havili has been another disappointment actually as well. 426K. In his last two games, he's only been averaging about in the mid-30s for his game time. He only got 21 points over the weekend.
As I said earlier, Starling's really won that battle out of the best options from a few weeks ago. I can see why people are cutting ties with him. He's just not getting the minutes. And Hoira Nair and Bateman are obviously established forwards that can play on an edge and in the middle. They've also got Hudson Young there at lock at the moment, who impressed over the weekend and got through a mountain of work. So there's only so much of it to go around. And it looks like Sticky's happy to give more to his teammates at the moment.
I actually dodged that mid-ranger. I think I picked up every other disappointing mid-ranger except for him. So I'm glad I dodged that one. Next one, we got Rudolph, which is a bit of a surprise just because he's named to start at 13 and he's still got a lowish break even of 29. So I think for a front row forward cover, he's still pretty good.
Yeah, he's a decent option there. Still got a break even that's achievable, so he'll probably squeeze out one or two more price rises. But I think this is probably one for the coaches that have dodged most of the carnage this week, and they're just putting the final tweaks on their team, squeezing all the cash they can out of their emergencies and putting that into premium keepers in their scoring 17. So if you're in a luxury position at the moment, I can see why you'd make that move.
Now we move on to Liam's unlikely lad.
Yes.
So as everyone would be aware, we missed last week's episode and this player was actually going to get into last week's ep and he's also made this week's episode as well. So we've got Tino for the Melbourne Storm, 86 points in 62 minutes from the interchange.
Is that our first back-to-back Liam's unlikely lad?
It is for the season. At the moment, looks like he's going to be getting the award at the end of the year.
He's doing really well. He's so explosive. I can't wait until he's in that Titans side next year. It would be great if he slowed down a little bit now, though, so we can pick him up quite cheap next year. But with a couple of injuries in the Storm's pack over the last couple of weeks, he's squeezed out some extra minutes and he's really made them count. He's a dangerous ball runner.
He's made over 300K in price rises. And if you think about it, Mo Fotowaker, David Fifita and him next season, it's going to be crazy.
Really exciting for Titans fans.
We're moving on to our favorite segment of the podcast, which is the Q&A. And we're kicking things off with Alessandro, who was asking, is Kurt Mann a keeper now after the arrival of Green?
So obviously this is going to be our first look at Mann starting in the number 9 jersey, but if you've still got him as halves cover, for example, in your team at the moment, you'd think this would have to be good for his scores. He's proven that he's got the fitness to play in the middle. He's a great defender. I think his scores are only going to go up from here, and as you know, he's been so impressive this year so far.
Next, we're moving on to Jaden, who's asking, the best player for under 700K. So for me, I think Moses and Tavanga are the two best options for that price range.
Absolutely. I think if you're under 700K, they're the two best options for mine. However, if you can find an extra 50 or so K, I don't mind the David Fifita punt. After talking about him just now with you on the podcast, I'm getting excited about him. But yeah, under 700K, if you are limited to that amount, Mitchell, Moses and Tavanga would be very enticing.
Elliot Land is asking, Moses or Munster, which we touched on a bit earlier.
We did touch on that earlier, and it is really close, but I've got Mitchell Moses just ahead. I really like those consistent kick meters for a premium half.
Scott needs to lose one of the following to get Ponga. Lomax, Talau, Mitchell, and Stephen Crichton. All been solid this season. I'd probably go for Talau for me, mostly because of that recent hamstring issue, as well as the rest of being dual position as well.
Yeah, I think Talau might actually pick up the dual positioning tomorrow morning. So he will have that. But even still, I'd probably have to Talau as the sell. Lomax, absolutely not. He's still been the best center over the course of the year. And I think that's just a one-off bad score for Lomax. He'll go back to his consistent scoring from here on in, I'd say.
Parko's wondering, is RFM a keeper in the 17 or would you look to upgrade?
Originally, I had him pegged as a springboard into a keeper. At one stage, I was aiming to turn him into Jazz Tavanga, but he just keeps scoring tries, the big man, so I can't really move him on at the moment. I think he's still got quite a low ownership, and you know, he's averaging over 60 over his last 5 games. Until he gives me a reason, I'll be sticking him around in my side.
Yeah, I'm keeping him as well to the end. F-Trend, will Peachy continue to score well?
I certainly hope so, because I brought him into my team last week and I was very nervous about it, actually. And you guys were laughing at me as we were watching the Titans. Teddy was underperforming as captain. I had Peachy. He was on about 7 points at halftime. Granted that he only got on just before halftime, but managed to crack the 50 barrier again. He's playing solid minutes in the middle, busting plenty of tackles. I personally think he's a great target for Bradman Best.
Harry asks, Madison for Fifita.
I personally don't mind that trade. Obviously, Madison is such a gun, but these head knock issues are such a concern, especially because he's had them in the past, Liam.
Yeah, it's always a bit of a worry once you've had one or two head knocks. He's not looking that great, is he? I'd probably be looking at David Fifita.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all, but there's probably a little bit of bias there because we're massive Fifita fans. He's one of the OTL favourites along with Jazz Tavanga.
He is. We've loved him from our first episode.
We have.
Next, we've got Kai, who's been holding Angus Crichton now, but has bigger problems with Carnage Week. So should Kai play 16 or bite the bullet and sell Crichton?
That's a really tough one. I think we've got Crichton pegged back for around 14 or even around 15. I'd probably be selling. I wouldn't personally want to be playing with 16 this week.
Yeah, and you'd hate to see him come back in round 15 and miss 2 weeks with a big asset like him on the bench.
Absolutely, yeah. I think you've got to move him on.
We'll wrap up the Q&A with BazaHart25. So is Sam McIntyre worth a look?
I think it's hard not to consider McIntyre at the moment. A -4 break even, priced in the low 300s as well. He's been fantastic. He looks like a real Michael Maguire style of player. He's got that hard edge and just rips in. Looks to be there on merit, pushing Garner out of the side. But they do, of course, have Twal to come back into that team and also Cheekam, who was injured a couple of weeks ago. So there is some risk there, but I actually wouldn't be surprised if he just stuck around in that team now off the back of his efforts that he's shown over the last couple of weeks.
Now, I think that wraps up the episode for another week. It's been 2 weeks since our last episode.
Yeah, it was good to get back in the studio and obviously a bit of a milestone episode for us, the first one where we've had a sponsor. So a massive thank you to everyone that's listened to us from the start. Obviously, we wouldn't be in a position to pick up a sponsor like Manscaped without you guys supporting us. So thank you very much, and hopefully we can continue to bring you content that you guys enjoy.
Thanks, guys. Good luck in Carnage Week.